The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening. This week's Parasha is Parashas Vayeshanan. In the beginning of Vayeshanan, it states, Vayeshanan al Hashem bo Isahi lenor. Moshe prayed to Hashem at this time. Moshe is relating what he did. He said that after the conquering of Emor HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan, as they were coming towards Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe prayed to Hashem. Rashi tells us, what is the word Vayeshanan? That's one of the words of Tefillah. It's one of the words which means prayer. Why is it called Vayeshanan? Chanan comes from the word chinom. So Rashi explains from the Chazal, matnas chinom. When a person goes and is mispallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should not come between. He should not come and ask for justice. Rather, he should ask for chesed. What's the difference? Asking for justice is when you come and you put a claim forth. You say that this is what is due to me. I've done this and this for you, and now you're not to repay me. In other words, what with the subject being discussed here is that Moshe was not allowed to cross the Yarden, to cross the Jordan and go into Eretz Yisrael. So he could have come to Hashem and said, look, look all I've done for you. And for 40 years I've led Klal Yisrael through the desert. You owe me the right to go into Eretz Yisrael. He didn't do that. Well, Chanan means that he came Bechinom. He says, I'm not asking for what you owe me. You owe me nothing. I'm asking for a matnas chinom, that you should do a kindliness to me, for me, even though I'm not deserving of it. Let me go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Chazal bring from here that this is one of the great principles in Tefillah. When a person comes to be mispallel to Hashem, he must not come bidin. He must not come with a claim for justice. Because once he starts to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to what is just and what is not just, then he might find out in the Emek HaMishpot, going into the depth of the law, the depth of justice, he might find out that after going into it, he doesn't have a claim at all. To the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have claims on him. So therefore, a person must never come with bar bedin. He must be bar with matnas chinom. He should tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you owe me nothing. But be kind to me and give me this even you do not owe. He should rather link his claim to the deeds of someone else, not to his own deeds. This is why when we start the tefillah, the Shemayin Esrei, we start with the Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchok, Lekei Yaakov. We come with a claim, but not from what we have done, but for what others have done, what Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov have done. This is an important principle. Now, even though we find that there were times when Moshe did come with a claim, for example, in Parshas Pinchas, he came and he said, Yifkoit Hashem. He said, Yifkoit is a tzivui. He came and he commanded HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, appoint a leader for this nation, someone to take over after I leave, in order that they should not be a sheep without a shepherd. And there the Chazal bring out Bob Israel. He was coming with a claim, with strength. But there it's different, because he wasn't coming to ask for himself. Here he's coming to ask for himself. There he was coming to ask for Klal Yisrael. When you come to ask for someone else, or especially for the Tzibur, there you can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bezreya, saying that you owe it to them. But when a person comes to ask for himself, then he has to Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. He has to come with the claim of what others have done, not what he has done. That's why it states for Eschanan, the Moshe said that I was mispallel to Hashem, that he should give me a matnas chinom, he should give me a gift, even though I am not deserving of it. And what was that?
So this is Beis Ahi Le'mor.
Hashem Elokim ato achileso laharis es abducho es godlucho ves yotcha chazoko. You have already started to show your servant your strength and your greatness and so forth. What did he start to show? So Rashi brings from the Chazal, you already started to show me the conquering of the land. Because when they came to Eivor HaYarden, to the other side of the Jordan, so there they were the mighty nations of Emeri, and there were two great kings. There was Sihon, the king of Emeri, and Og, the king of Boshan. And they tried to stop Klal Yisrael's path, to obstruct it, and Moshe fought them. And of course, Baruch Hu made miracles. And Moshe won, and their land was taken. So, therefore, he said, you've already started to show me the beginning of the Kfishas Oretz, the beginning of the conquering of the land. So now show me the conquering of the 31 kings on the other side of the Yarden. And the Chazal tell us that at this point, Moshe thought that since he was able to see the downfall of these people and the capturing of this land, that Shemo Hutar Haneder, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has started to annul the vow he made that Moshe would not enter Eretz Yisrael. Ebrono. So he said, please, let me cross. Be'er Eso Oretz, and let me see the land. This good land, which is on the other side of the Jordan, and this good mountain, the Halvonen, and the Levonen. This is what Moshe asked for. Now, on that, the Torah tells us, "Va'yisaber Hashem bi lemanchem v'leshom Eloi." He says, "Because of you." See, it was the hate of Moshe was primarily because of Klal Yisrael. They kept angering him, and because of that, he came to whatever the Aveira was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with. So he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry at me because of you. Veleishom Eli, and he wouldn't listen to me. And he said, "Rav loch al tesef daber Eli." He says, "Don't speak to me about this anymore. Enough. Instead, go up, Reisha Pisgah, to the mountain, and lift your eyes to the west, to the north, to the south, and to the east, and there you will see the land. But you shall not cross the Yarden in the Jordan." Now Moshe asked for three things. He said, "Let me cross and see." When he was speaking of seeing, he wasn't speaking of seeing from this side and from the other side of the Jordan. He wanted to cross and be in the land. He said, "Let me cross and see." He asked for the Oretz HaTova, this good land, Asher Eivor HaYarden, Hohor HaTov, the mountain, the good mountain, and the Levonon. Now this evening I would like to go into this, what Moshe asked for. Firstly, it's from our parsha. Secondly, it has a special significance since this week is the week right after Tisha B'Av. We're holding just a few days after Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av was the downfall, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it's also very related to the time. Rashi tells us, he mentioned the Chazal, and this is also in the Midrash. This is in the Medrash Rabba and the Sifri. That Ha'oretz HaTova, that's Eretz Yisrael. Ha'or HaTov, the good mountain, that's Yerushalayim. V'Halvonon, what is Halvonon? So Rashi brings in a targum, says Beis Mikdosh. This is the Beis HaMikdash. Levonon we generally translate as Lebanon, but here it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us in Kamsa Bar Kamsa. This is what we gave a shit on last Wednesday night. The Morin Gittin on Nun Vov Amad Beis. Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai wanted to get out of Yerushalayim in order to negotiate a peace treaty with the Romans. One of the senior Roman generals had sieged the city for a number of years, for 3 years. But the zealots, they were radicals who were in the city, and they wanted war. They wouldn't let Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai go out. Finally, they had to take him out through the gates secretly. When he came to this general, so he said, Ki nofak motelo oso mama shalma aloch malko. Shalma aloch malko. He said, peace to you, the mighty king. This is what Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, this is how he addressed the general. He says, Omalei, mechayfte, mechayfte, trek tolo. He says, you deserve the death penalty twice. Chodo de la malkwand. He says, firstly, I'm not the king. The king is the Caesar, Rome. I'm not the king. And you called me the king. When someone else is the king, that in a democracy you could do that. But you can't do that in Rome. So he says, you're deserving of the death penalty. So, he says another thing. He says, if I'm a king, so why didn't you come to see me and to talk things over before? So he said, Omale, the comrade lab malkano. He says, that's what you said. You are not a king. Even a malkot. He says, I say differently. I say you are the king. Why? The ilab malkaat la mimsra Yerushalayim biyodech. Because if you are not a king, then Yerushalayim would not be handed over to you. Diksiv, as it states in Yeshayahu, Vahalvonen be'adi yipu. Levonen will fall into the hands of an adir, of a mighty one. Ve'in adir el melech. And when the Torah refers to a mighty one, it's referring to a king. It brings a pasuk on that. And ve'in levonen el beis hamikdash. And when the Torah refers to the levonen, that refers to the beis hamikdash. As it states, and he brings our posuk, Gehor hatov hazeh v'halvonim. So therefore, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai said, don't say that I'm calling you king incorrectly. I say you are a king. Because if you are not a king, then Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash will not be given over to you. He had captured Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Because it states that l'halvonim be'adi yipul. The levonim, which is the Beis HaMikdash, will fall into the hands of an adir, of a mighty one who's a king. Then the story goes further, that as they were speaking, so a messenger, a shliach, came from Rome, and he told them, he says, Kum, he says, get up. The mace like Kesar, the Amri Hanu Hashiva de Reimoi, Lo Sivach Bereisho. Caesar has died, and they have, the council in Rome has taken the decision that you should become the new Caesar. Okay. So Rabbi Yechon was right, that he was a king. So from here we see that Levonon, Halvonon, refers to the Beis HaMikdash, which Moshe asked to see. We have another Gemara. The Gemara comes in Masechta Yuma. Masechta Yuma, Lamedtes Amud Beis. Already 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, So many things were going wrong in the Beis HaMikdash. Many miracles which used to take place ceased. Lo haya geirul eile lebiyamin, lo haya loshin shel zuhurius malbin. For example, when the Kohanim would choose the lots before they would send the Yom Kippur, before they would send the goat over the mountain, so one lot would always come up in the right hand. This stopped to happen. And then the Chut HaShoni, the scarlet thread, would turn white to show that Klal Yisrael were forgiven. This stopped to have, this ceased. The Lo Haya Ner Marovi Delek, the western candle of the menorah, never went out, even though the candles went out every day and they were relit. But the western candle never went out, so they lit the others from the western candle, the one in the west. So they lit the others from the western candle, and then they relit that one. Then our Hechel Niftochas Ma'alehen, and the doors to the Beis HaMikdash used to open by themselves. When someone came to the Beis HaMikdash in the morning, the doors would open by themselves. Now this was a bad sign. This was a sign that the Beis HaMikdash was vulnerable, and that one day they would open for the Oyeh, for the enemy. Achegor Bahen Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai would shout at the doors, and he would say, Hechel Eichel Mipnei Ma'aton Mivis Atzmecho Yodei Ani Boch Shesefcho Osi Lechorev. He says, Hechel, why are you afraid when your doors open up? He says, I know. We have prophecies that because you, through this, you will be destroyed one day. As it states in Zechariah, Posach levonon dalsayich batechal eish barozayich. That the levonon, which again refers to the Beis HaMikdash, will open its doors and the enemy will come and consume its cedar. So the Gemara says, Omer b'Yitzchok ben Tevalyu, Loma nikra shmei levonon, why was the Beis HaMikdash called levonon? Shemalbin avnei sehen shel Yisrael. Levonain is the word, the root of the word levonain is lavon, white. So why do we refer to the Beis HaMikdash as levonain? Because it would whiten the sins of Klal Yisrael. What was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? That Klal Yisrael should bring sacrifices, and this was the, through this was a kapora, atonement. This was the major purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash was made for kapora, for atonement. So therefore it was called the Levonain, from the word white, because it would whiten the sins of Klal Yisrael. Now, so therefore, what did Moshe ask for? He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ebrono, let me cross the Jordan. And let me see this good land which is on the other side of the Jordan. That's Eretz Yisrael. Let me see this good mountain. That's Yerushalayim. And the Levonon, Zu Beis HaMikdash. This is the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. What is the explanation of this? The Maral in the Guraye here and the Netzach Yisrael Perikei and Daf Lamed Omet Beis in Netzach Yisrael and in the Gevuras Hashem in Perik Ein Aleph goes into, elaborates on this, and these are some of the things which he tells us. Eretz Yisrael is called Tov because it's a good land, like we're going to learn soon in Parshas Ekev. The Torah tells us in Parshas Ekev, it states, Ki Hashem elokecha meviyacho al eretz tova. Hashem will bring you to a good land. This is an Ekev Ches, Posuk Zayin. Eretz nachle moyim. It's a land with water. Ayonai Susahemes. It's a land with rivers. It's a land with springs, with wells. Yetzi Babiko Bahor that come out in the valley and in the mountain. It's a land full of good wheat and crops and good fruit and oil and wine. It's a land which you will not have to work hard in order to bring out its produce. It lacks nothing. It has stone and it has iron. This you can hew out from its mountains, and you shall eat and be satisfied. And then again, at the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us all of the good things about Eretz Yisrael. This is why it's called Eretz Tova. It's a good land. It's full of brachas. Now, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim which states that Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh Mishar Arotzes. Eretz Yisrael is more sanctified than all of the other lands in the world. This means it's at a higher level. It's higher and it's separated. This tells us that it's not a physical land like the other lands. The greatness of Eretz Yisrael is not because of its physical beauty or its physical brachos. That rather is an effect, not a cause. The greatness of Eretz Yisrael is that it's on a higher spiritual plane than all of the other lands. Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Mishar Kol Arotzes. It's more sanctified than all of the other lands. Proof of this, we see from the Trumas Umaisres, we call Mitzvahs Atluis Boretz, that we are obligated in mitzvahs that have to do with the land of Eretz Yisrael, which we are not obligated in these mitzvahs, in other lands. In other lands, if you plant, you can take the crops and you eat it. Eretz Yisrael, there are many things you have to do to the crops before you can eat. You have to take truma, to take maaser, and so forth. There are many, many mitzvahs that have to do with the land itself. So this is a sign that it's a spiritual land. And therefore it's nivdal, therefore it's on a higher spiritual plane, and it's separated from all the other lands. Because of that, says nimtzeis beha brocha, because of that, brocha is found in it. Because bracha doesn't come from the lower realms of the world. Bracha comes from the higher realms of the world. Where does bracha come? Bracha comes, blessing comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a land which is spiritually higher than the other lands is closer to Hashem. Therefore is found bracha. Therefore it's an Eretz HaTovah. All of these good things that we find in Eretz Yisrael, this is not what makes the land different. This is rather the effect, not the cause. But the cause is that it's Kodesh Mishar Kol Arotzes. It is on a higher plane and more sanctified than all of the other lands. So therefore, it's called Oretz HaTovah. That's what Meshe wanted to see. Now, he said, he wants to see Horatov, the good mountain. There he's referring to Yerushalayim. The Mishnah in Kelim tells us, Yerushalayim Kodesh Mishar Kol Hayores. From all of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is more sanctified than all of the rest. So we see that just like Eretz Yisrael is separated and is distinguished in its level from all other lands in the world, Yerushalayim is separated and distinguished through its level from all the other cities in Eretz Yisrael. This is Yerushalayim. And it's called a mountain. Actually, the Sifri brings that many of the early greats refer to it as a mountain. Avraham said he saw the Hor, he called it a mountain by Har Moriah. And others refer to it as a mountain. Why is it called a mountain? Because just like a mountain is higher than the land level that surrounds it, so is Yerushalayim spiritually higher than all of the land level that surrounds it. So this is why he wanted to see a Hor, Zu Yerushalayim, and HaTov, and therefore is found even better goodness in it, because it's even higher, so it's even greater brachas. So this was the second thing he asked for. Then he said, "Bahalvonin." See, the Ilavonin. This refers to Beis Mikdosh. This refers to the Beis Hamikdosh. Alavonin. The Maral says in his Gurai refers to a forest. Generally, we have many psukim that state Arzei Levonon, and we translate it the cedars of Lebanon. He says Levonon refers to a forest, which is on a mountain. I don't know if he's learning that it refers particularly to the forests of Lebanon, which are on mountains, or if this is how he's understanding what the word Levonon itself means. But he says this refers to a great forest which is on a mountain. Now, he says a great forest which is on a mountain is even more divided, and even at a more distinguished level than the mountain and the land. Because first you have your land, then you have your mountain, which is distinguished. You don't say there's the land, you say there's the mountain. And a mountain is higher, it's distinguished. But at least the mountain is part of the land, except it's a high part of the land. Then, on the mountain, when you have a great forest, so that already is not the land. That's something which is b'chuvah l'karka. It's joined to the land, but it's not land. A tree is not land. It's b'chuvah l'karka. It's joined to land, but it's not land itself. So this is distinguished even more. And this gives us an insight into the Beis Hamikdosh. The Beis Hamikdosh is on the mountain. It's on Yerushalayim. And the mountain is distinguished from the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But the Beis Hamikdosh is not part of the land. It might be joined to the land. The stones and the wood that it's made from is sitting on the land, but it's not land. Just like the Levonon, just like the forests of the mountain are not land. They are found on the land, but they're not land itself. They're something else. And what is the essence of the Beis HaMikdosh? This we know, the essence of the Beis HaMikdosh is Shechinas Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to dwell. We've given Shurim in the past where the Gemara tells us that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell anywhere. When Klal Yisrael states by Yosef, that when Yosef was in Canaan, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. When he went down to Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. We found wherever Yosef went, Shechinimon. We find by Klal Yisrael, when they went into Golos, Shechina went with them. Chazal tell us that Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, where Torah is being learned, that's where the Shechina is. Or it states that the Eya Mikdosh Me'at, that when there was no Beis HaMikdosh, so they bought the Kenesiyos, the shuls and the houses of learning, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell anywhere. So what's so special about the Beis HaMikdosh? The Beis HaMikdosh was called Beis HaBechira. There was only one place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that should be his dwelling place all of the time. All of the other places, this was temporary. Where Jews are, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with them. But if they left there, he left also. For example, it states, Botik in the Siyos Bevavel, the shuls and the yeshivas, and the houses of learning and the houses of prayer in outside of Eretz Yisrael, there they become sanctified only for a certain time. They don't become sanctified forever. For example, once the Jews leave there, so then there's no longer sanctity. So in all places, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells at that particular time or for that particular purpose. If there's Torah being learned there, he'll dwell there as long as Torah will be learned. But there's only one place where he dwells that he says, Zu Beisi, this should be my home forever. And this was the Levonon. This was the mountain in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, where the Beis HaMikdosh was to be built. And that's why We are not allowed to build other altars once that place was chosen. This is his home, Bikfius. Tragically, we drove him out with our Avedis at the Churban Abayis, the destruction of the temple, we drove him out, but that's still his place. So this is the uniqueness of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, so the uniqueness of the Beis HaMikdash is not physical at all. It's because this is the home of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. So therefore it's like a Levonim. It's not part of the land at all. The forest is not land. The Beis HaMikdash is not land. It's found on the land. He's come down to this world to live. It's attached to the land, but it's not the land at all. So therefore, it's referred to as a Levonon. Levonon means a forest, a rich forest of trees, which is found at the tops of the mountains, which are found on the land. Now, this explains to us why Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai told the Roman general, he says, don't say I'm guilty for calling you a king. Malkuat, you are a king. Because the Beis HaMikdash, because of its enormous level, could not be conquered by anyone who also does not have an enormous level. It needs an adir. Adir means someone who is distinguished with his supreme powers. And a king also is distinguished from the rest of the people. You have the nation and you have the melech. The melech is not one of the nation. In fact, the nation belongs to the king. And he's the leader of the king. You have the nation and you have the king. But the king, he lives here. But he's not, he doesn't become secondary or part and parcel to the nation. There's the nation and the king. And the same thing is, there's the orders, there's the land and the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he said that since the Beis HaMikdash is falling into your hands, then you are a malka, you are a king. You might not know of it yet, but you are a king. Because Levonim, the Adir Yipel, the Levonim can only fall into the hands of an Adir, of a king, who is distinguished from the land and from the nation, like the Beis HaMikdash. This is also the reason why we have a Mishnah in the Masechta Ovis, which at times before we've gone into a detail, where it states that Asor Nisim Nasu Laviseinu BeBeis HaMikdash B'chol Yom. Every day 10 miracles took place in the Beis HaMikdash, all of the time, and not on a temporary basis. Miracles we know of, but we only know of miracles on a temporary basis. This is why it's such a great phenomenon. If it would happen all the time, we wouldn't call it a miracle. So what's a miracle? A miracle is a great shinui, something all of a sudden extraordinary. This is a miracle, a kriya shamsuf, the splitting of the sea. But when does it happen? It can happen once in history, twice in history, a few times. The Beis HaMikdash was not like that. The Mishnah Novus tells us that there were 10 things that happened in the Beis HaMikdash on a regular basis, repeatedly, which were miracles. And it lists off the miracles that took place. For example, there was always a fire on the Mizbeach and the altar. And this was in the courtyard, the Azora. And that fire was a mitzvah that it should never go out. What happened when it rained? Miracles took place where it never was extinguished. Another example, there was always a column of smoke going up from the burning of the sacrifices on the altar. Now, a column of smoke is dispersed through the wind. That column of smoke was never dispersed. And so on and so on. So there the chidush, the uniqueness is not that miracles took place. Miracles always take place to Klal Yisrael. But they were not extraordinary. They happened all of the time at the designated time, without exception. Why is that? That's because what we've explained. Because A miracle is something which is a yetziya, a shinui, extraordinary to the nature of the world. The land, which is part of the nature of the world, so miracles can take place on a regular basis. But the Beis HaMikdash, which was not part of the physical world anymore, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place, it was elevated and distinguished and separated from the nature of the world. So it has its own nature. And this was its own nature. The 10 miracles took place all of the time in the Beis HaMikdash in a regular order. Now, he says, so this is the basic reason what it was referred to as Levonin, because Levonin means a forest range on top of the mountain. Now this root word of Levonin, though, is Lovon, white. Why was it called, why was that word used, white, besides what the Gemara is going to expound on it? She says white was the proper name for the Beis HaMikdash, because Lovon, the color white, is always designated for something which is distinguished and elevated from the physical world. White is a color. The fact is, we always refer to white. White represents purity. When you mix colors, so white is something which is pure from all other mixtures. If you want to give it a color, you start adding other colors. You add a little red, you add a little yellow, you add a little blue. If you want to really make it heavy, then it becomes black. Now black is the total opposite of white. So this shows us that black represents a total mixture of other things, while white represents, is always symbolic of purity, because there's nothing else in it, just white. He says white always represents something of a spiritual level. To the contrary, he says, that something of a physical level, that carries the color black. Where do we see this? He says we see this in light. The more into the earth you go, the more darkness it becomes. You go deeper into the sea. People who have been very, very deep in the sea, today they can go thousands, thousands and thousands of feet into the sea, or meters into the sea. They say that the darkness is enormous there. The deeper you go into the land or the water, the darker it becomes. The higher you go, the lighter it becomes. Not only does it become lighter, but the light becomes whiter, right? Because this represents a clarity. The more physical something is, then the less light it'll be, the more darkness it'll be, the more blackness it'll be. The higher something becomes, the whiter it'll become. Actually, this is brought to reasons, for example, some give this as the reasons why on Pesach we put on a white kittel. Because it was the level of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Or on Yom Kippur, we wear white. Because it states, Kemalachi Hashem, Hoyon Nikim Kemalachi Ashoris, we reach a level of purity like the angels. Or it states that the Kohen Gadol, when he went into the most sanctified parts of the Beis HaMikdash, he put Bigdei Lovan, he put white garments on, because he was going into the highest levels, which is the extremity furthest from the physical levels. There is light. Therefore, it's very good the name Levonan, which means white, that the Beis HaMikdash should be referred to. Similarly, we find the same thing by Torah. See, Torah is called Or. Torah Or. Torah is referred to as a light. Why? Because the Torah is the extremity which is furthest from something that's physical. Torah did not come from the Tachtenim, it didn't come from the lower worlds, it came from the upper worlds. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's very far from the physical world. And therefore it's full of light. The purest type of light. And we find in the Beis HaMikdash, the most sanctified place of the Beis HaMikdash was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This was the innermost chambers. In this place, no one was ever allowed to go, with the exception of only the Kohen, and only the Kohen Gadol, only the high priest, HaGadol Me'echov, the greatest of the Kohanim, and he could only go once a year, and that was on Yom Kippur, which was the holiest day of the year. Now, what was so special about the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why was no one allowed to go there at all? And even the Kohanim were not allowed to go, except the Kohen Gadol, and only on Yom Kippur. And when he went in his big day love, and he went in his garments of white. What was so special about the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What was special about the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because there was the Torah. What was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Aron Bris Hashem, the Ark. And what was in the Ark? The Luchos HaBris, the tablets, and the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says, why was it called Oren? Shekula Or. It was called Oren because Oren comes from the word light. It was all light. So this was the symbolic that when you went there, you went out of the world. To go out of the world, no, what human being can go out of the world? So therefore there had to be someone on that level. So that was only the Gadol Me'echov, the greatest of all of the Kohanim. And even then he couldn't go all of the time. Only on the greatest day of the year on Yom Kippur. So this was that light and this was that whiteness. Therefore, Levanon, it was called Levanon. Now we go one step further. Now we can understand what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Am I nikro shma Levonen?" Why? We've explained what Levonen means. We've explained what word it comes from. But the Gemara wants to know more. Why was it called its name Levonen? So it says, "Ki malabni nesav neseim shel Yisrael," because it whitened the chatoim, the sins of Israel. Its major purpose, as we mentioned, was for Klal Yisrael to come there and to bring sacrifices for kapora, for atonement. So atonement through the Beis HaMikdash, atonement was reached. This is a whiteness. See, an Aveira was designated as something as black. Even you have in your world literature, the evil is designated as black. And the angel is designated as white. So this comes from these sources. The hate, sin, this is designated, this is symbolized by black. The opposite of white. It states that we have psukim enach. It says that I will make your sins pure as white. Okay? Now why? So the Ra'al says like this, because where does hate come from? Where does sin come from? Does sin come from the physical man or the spiritual man? He says it comes from physical man. The whole hate, the reason why people do things wrong at times is because of the physical powers in them. Because they are made from the earth. Man was made, ofer min adama, dust from the earth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into him a soul from above. So the soul from above, that's a spiritual whiteness. Neshama shenesati b'taharihi. The soul which you have given to me is totally pure. But the man has earth in himself. That earth is dark. See, the earth has no light. It's interesting. The earth has no light in it whatsoever. So that's dark. So when man does good, that's the motivation from the spirit that's in him. The spirit is leading the physical body to do good. When man fails, that's from the motivation of the physical body. That the physical body now is governing the spirit. And it's misleading the spirit to do Aveira. So all hate comes from the physical counterparts of man. And that's represented by a darkness, by a blackness. When man has atonement, so he rids himself from this Aveira and he becomes white. So therefore the Beis HaMikdash is called Levonan Shemalabdin Esavaneseihen Shel Yisrael, because it brings whiteness to the Chatoim, to the sins of Israel.
So here we see that this is what Moshe said. He said, "Ere eso ebrono, let me cross the Jordan, the eres oretz atova asher bevarayadim, and to see this good land, zu eretz Yisrael, that's distinguished from all of the other lands, kodesh mikol arotzis, v'hohoratov, and I want to see also this mountain, a good mountain, referring to Yerushalayim." Shekodesh Mishar Kolayores, which is more sanctified and higher than all of the other cities. V'halvonan, he says. And I also want to see the Lavonan, the Halvonan, this power of whiteness. Zubes Migdosh, the Beis HaMigdosh. Now, we'll go to one more Gemara. The Gemara brings also in Yuma. The same Gemara. The Gemara continues and says, Omar Rav Zutra Batuvia, Loma Nikra Shmayar. You see, just like we find that the Beis HaMikdash is called Levonon, we also find that it's called a yar, a forest, a field. A yar is like a yar is a field with trees. Dixiv Beis Yar Halvonon. In Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud, is the pasuk Beis Yar Halvonon, the house that's so to a field with trees. Le Malach, to tell you. Ma Yar Melav Lev, a Beis HaMikdash Melav Lev. Just like a yar is melavlev. Melavlev means it brings forth fruit. Beis HaMikdash also brings forth fruit. What does this mean? The Omer Beisha. B'shoa shebona shleima Beis HaMikdash. When King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash, not a bay kol mine begodim shel zov. Not a bay kol mine begodim shel zov. King Solomon built the Beis HaMikdash. So he planted, I don't know exactly what, just how it worked, but he planted plants of gold, it states. Planted trees and plants of gold that would bring forth all type of golden fruit. Well, amazing peres bismanehen, and in season, they will bring forth their fruit. V'kivan sha'are ruach min ha'sheves bohen. And then the winds would come, and they would blow these trees. Ha'yeneishrim peresehen. And their golden fruit would fall off. Shnem ha'yirash kilvonain pirya. Yirash, this is a posuk in Tilum. Yirash kilvonain pirya. That let the levonon give forth its fruit. And this became panosa for the kuhuna. See, the kohanim were in the Beis HaMikdash, and when they were there, golden fruit would start falling. So they had panosa, they had livelihood from this. But once the idolaters came to the hechel, yofsho, all of these plants and trees dried up. Shenemar, as it states, this is a pasuk in Nochum Aleph, uferach levonon umlol, that the blossoming of the Levonin of the Beis HaMikdash umlal finished, became desolate. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it back to us when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, as it states, perach tifrach v'sogel. Now, so we see the Beis HaMikdash also was referred to by another name as a yar, as a orchard. Why? Because just as an orchard is melavlev, it gives forth fruit, so the Beis HaMikdash also gave forth fruit. What is the explanation of this? From the Beis HaMikdash came the highest level of bracha. We explained before why was Eretz Yisrael called Eretz HaTov? Because it was full of bracha. And why was Yerushalayim called a Haratov, a mountain of goodness?
Because it was full of bracha. And why were these places full of bracha? Because bracha doesn't come from the earth. Bracha does not come from under the sea. Bracha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who gives bracha. He commands the world to give forth bracha. So the closer you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer you are to bracha, to blessing. So Eretz Yisrael, that is higher than the other lands, a higher spiritual plane, so there will be more bracha there. Therefore it was called a good land. Yerushalayim will have even more bracha. If that's the case, so the Beis HaMikdash, which was the highest point in the world, will have even more bracha. Not only does the Beis HaMikdash have even more bracha, but that was the Shedesh HaBracha. That was the source of bracha in our world. In our world, there's a Gemara that states that if the Goyim knew what the Beis HaMikdash did for them, they would have come to build it with gold. Instead of burning it down, they would have built it with gold. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the source of bracha in the world. And therefore, it's like an orchard. An orchard has trees that give forth fruit. So the Beis HaMikdash also gave forth its fruit. And the word the Gemara uses is melavlev. Gives forth fruit. What else is, what does the word melavlev come from? That comes from the word lev. The word lev is there. Lev is a heart. Because the heart gives nourishment and bracha to the body. It's the heart which is the central force in the body, which nourishes every part of the body. And through this it gives life. So does an orchard, and so does the Beis HaMikdash for the entire world. The Beis HaMikdash was like the heart of the world. We mentioned Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. It's the central point. And it nourished the world. Therefore, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted trees and plants that would give forth golden fruit. In other words, the highest level of physical bracha. And this would give forth its fruit and its life to the whole world. Kivan shenichnasu akum. But once the idolaters came to the Beis HaMikdash to destroy it, yofshu, it's all dried up. Why? The fact that the idolaters, the Akum, or the Romans, the fact that they could destroy the Beis HaMikdash, what did this show? This showed that the Beis HaMikdash had fallen. Had it been at the level where it was supposed to be, then Ein Kol Yad Sheletes Bo, no hand could harm it. Especially the hand of the idolaters. How can they come to harm the Beis HaMikdash? That's what Rabbi Yechonon and Zakkai saw already 40 years before the Churban. 40 years before the Churban, many of the miracles that always took place started to cease. Now they saw the Beis HaMikdash is no longer what it used to be. It had fallen. Why had it fallen? Machmas Avoneseinu, because of our sins. He saw the doors of the Beis HaMikdash open by themselves. He shouted at it. He says, "What are you afraid of?" And he saw. He says, "Yes, we have been prophesied that you will open your doors for the enemies." In other words, when the Beis HaMikdash was at the level it was supposed to be, the doors would not open for the enemy. The doors would remain closed and the enemy would not be able to come to the Beis HaMikdash. But now we see you open your doors so the enemy can come. You have fallen to the level of the enemy. So if it's fallen, so the baruch has dried up. Yofshu. Kivin shenichnasa akum lehechel. Once the goyim came to the hechel, then this baruch has ceased. The Yofshu, it dried up. As it states, Uferach Levonon Umlo. There's a Mishnah in Mesechta Satan.
Daf Mem Ches. Mishnah states Mishachar Beis HaMikdosh. Once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, Botel HaShomir. The Shomir, this was the creature which they used to cut stone with. They weren't allowed when they cut the stone for the Beis HaMikdosh, so they weren't allowed to use any iron. So this was a creature that they used. Botel HaShomir, the Neifes Sufim. Neifes Sufim, the Gemara goes into a discussion. What is Neifes Sufim? There's different opinions, but basically what it is was sweetness. Dvash, a honey, or other type of sweetness that was found in the flour of the grain, but there was a sweetness. Sweetness left the world. Physical sweetness. Posku Anshi Amonim Yisrael. Trustworthy people that had trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, "Beitchim ba'Kodesh Baruch Hu v'seimchin olav lasis tevein deigin lechesram." People who had confidence in Hashem, and they didn't go around saying, "What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us?" They had faith in HaKodesh Baruch Hu. These type of people cease to be. Shim Gamliel Eimer, Heid Rabbi Shua miyem shechor beis hamikdash, ein yem shein beiklolo. From the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then we do not have a day in which a curse is not found. And the dew no longer came with a blessing. The nitl tama peiros, the taste of the fruit changed. Wasn't the same. Fruit in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was enormously tasty and sweet. Now it's not the same. The fat, the fullness of the fruit is not the same, and so forth and so on. And the Mishnah carries on. What is the Mishnah telling us? Mishnah simply telling us that Mishachora Beis HaMikdosh Botla HaBrocha Nismayet HaBrocha, that when the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed and it left the world, with it left brocha. We still have a little brocha. It's not the same. The sweetness of the world is not the same. The sweetness of the honey is not the same. The taste of the fruit is not the same. The fullness of the fruit is not the same. The people are not the same. Nismayitu habrocha. If it's not gone completely, it's almost gone. Every day, there's not a day that doesn't have a curse in it that the previous days didn't have, did not have. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Maral says, it's teaching us that the Beis HaMikdosh was the source of brocha in the world. While it stood, then there was brocha to the world. When it became chorav, when it became destroyed, then brocha left the world. But the brocha, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had intended for this world. No longer is it the Levonin. No longer is it the Har HaTov or the Eretz HaTova. We find we don't have the brocha. And to the whole world. Not only to Eretz Yisrael, not only to Yisrael. That's why the Gemara says, had the idolaters known what the Beis HaMikdash did for them, then they wouldn't have destroyed it. They would have helped to build it. See, build it out of gold. Now the reason for this is, as we explained, because this is the high point of the world. And brocha comes milmala lamata. It comes from the high parts to the lower parts. Not milmata lamala, not from the lower parts upward. Now even more so, there's even one final note we can attach to this. When Yaakov was running from Esau,
And then he went to the yeshiva, the Chazal tell us, and he learned there for 14 years. And then he continued on his way. So he was walking along, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu steered him that he should sleep in Beis El. Beis El was the place where the Beis HaMikdash was to be built. When he came there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it dark all of a sudden, so he should sleep there. When he woke up, he had the dream, Sulam Mutzavatso, that there was a ladder that came from the ground and went to the heavens. Reishim Agia Shamaimo. He woke up and he says, I didn't know. I didn't know where I was sleeping was. Atmos Kodesh, this is a holy place. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept there. He says, Ein zu ele beis alekim v'zeh shara shamayim. He says, this is where I slept. I thought it was a piece of land. This is Beis Elohim. This is the place for the house of Hashem where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to dwell. V'zeh shara shamayim. These are the gates to heaven. Now, this is the place where Hashem wants to dwell, that we understand. But what did he mean, these are the gates to heaven? So the Chazal tell us that Beis HaMikdash shalmata mechuvonin tachas Beis HaMikdash shalmalo. That just like this, a place for Hashem here, there's a place for Hashem on the high also. And they are right on top of each other. So he called it Zu Shara Shamayim. These are the gateways to heaven. What is meant by that? It is meant that the two worlds are joined with the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an upper world, and he created a lower world. Just like in man, he created man from the earth, and he gave him a soul from above, and he joined them together in what is called man. So the same thing in the world. In the world he has his own Beis HaMikdash. That's in the spiritual world, the Olam Elyon. Then he created a physical world, and he created a physical Beis HaMikdash. One that will be made out of stone and wood. And they're both right on top of each other, and they join. Zu Shara Shamayim, this is the gates, this is the gateway. So this means that as long as the Beis HaMikdash is here and is functioning properly, then the two worlds are joined. The Elyonim and Tachtonim are joined. If they are joined, then all of the brachos of the spiritual world flows into this world. Once it was destroyed, Nivdel HaTachtonim min Elyonim, then the lower world separated itself from the upper world. And therefore there's not a day that we do not see problems. If we want to know, we always ask ourselves, why are we living in such a troubled world? Wherever we turn, there's problems. Wherever we turn, there are troubles. If it's at the international level, or the national level, if it's at the family level, or the personal level, or the economic level, or if it's racial problems, or if it's problems with the nations or with Eretz Yisrael, Vumi gives a harir. Wherever we turn, there are problems. There's one answer to that. Because brocha has ceased from the world. We don't have brocha in the world. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Why? Mishachora Beis HaMikdash. Because the source of the brocha was the Beis HaMikdash. From there came a broch into the world that we have even no concept of. Now when we eat a good fruit, we think it's good because we have no concept of what was a good fruit. When we taste the sweetness of honey, we think it's a sweetness. Mishnah says, no, that's not a sweetness. And that's because, Bavanei Seyam, with our sins, we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We made it vulnerable for the Akum, for the good. So now is Nivdolim. The lower world breaks away from the higher world. And the source of Brocha cannot flow in. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu knew all of this. He knew all of this and much more. He's the one who taught us the Torah. And that's why he pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Ebrono, Boschanan el Hashem. See? I asked Hashem for a gift. He said, I'm not deserving, but give me a matnes chinam. Ebrono ve'ere, let me go across and see ha'oretz ha'tova. Zu Eretz Yisrael. See, this land of goodness, Eretz Yisrael. Ashebe Eber Ayadin, which is on the other side of the Jordan. Ohor Atov. He says, this mountain of goodness, Zu Yerushalayim. This is Yerushalayim. And he says, Bahalvonim, and the greatest of all, the Levonim. That's like a forest on top of the mountain. That's no longer part of the earth. It's connected to the earth, but it's not the earth itself. And it's white with its purity. And it brings whiteness, brings purity to the world. And from there came Brocha into the world. Zu Beis Mikdosho. This is the Beis HaMikdosho. We, Im Yitz Hashem, from this we can learn what will be when the Beis HaMikdosh will be rebuilt again. B'mheir of Yameinu. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.